This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for tuning in today. We continue our Project Milwaukee series today called Barriers to Achievement at MPS with a look at major overhauls, past, present, and future. In the last two decades, Milwaukee has been the living laboratory that advocates and opponents of school choice have studied. Private school vouchers and charter schools became a large part of the equation here, and supporters of that shift, such as Diane Ravitch, believed it represented the greatest promise for urban school reform. Ravitch was an education official in the Bush administration. She's now an education historian at New York University and now believes the reality of school choice didn't live up to expectations. Ravitch told WUWM's Marge Pitroff that federal testing requirements and school choice have done nothing to improve urban education.
Accountability, particularly the federal No Child Left Behind Act, has been a failure because what happens when you tie high stakes to tests is that people cheat, they game the system, they reach the goal, but they forget what education's about. So we end up, even when the test scores are going up, education's getting worse at the same time because of the neglect of everything except for reading and math. And choice has not succeeded. And I would say that the best-case scenario for the failure of choice is the city of Milwaukee. Milwaukee became the national laboratory for demonstrating the effectiveness or non-effectiveness of choice. Milwaukee was the first city in the nation to have a voucher program, which started in 1990. And Milwaukee also has a very vigorous charter sector. So you now have about 20,000 kids with vouchers, not quite 20,000 in charters, and a declining enrollment in the public schools. The promise of choice was that it would create, but through competition, so much improvement that everybody would do better, that the competition would lead to improvement in the public sector and great gains in the choice sector, both in charters and in vouchers. And what we now can see 20 years later is that none of this was true. None of this happened. In fact, there was no rising tide and no boats were lifted. There used to be vigorous arguments about whether kids were doing better or not in the voucher schools. But the latest study from a pro-choice place, which is the University of Arkansas, which actually has a very balanced team of researchers of pro and anti-voucher types, their latest evaluation showed that kids in the voucher schools don't do any better than kids in the public sector. Now, where you have to step back and say that this is all a great tragedy is when you look at the scores on the federal test, which are, as far as I'm concerned, the only reliable measure of student achievement these days because it has no stakes attached to it. Federal test is called the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And on that test, in the state of Wisconsin, African-American children, who are about two-thirds of whom are in the city of Milwaukee, have test scores that are equivalent to their peers, African-American peers, in the state of Mississippi. So there has been no improvement. It's actually a tragedy. So much time and so much money has been wasted talking about how to reorganize the schools. And it had the same amount of time and money and resources and energy been devoted to improving the public schools, I'm willing to bet that the kids in Milwaukee would have been much better served.
Before we get into what you think might be a solution or solutions, what are the barriers that urban districts face that are preventing students and school districts from achieving at higher levels?
Well, the biggest thing that you have to understand about schools is that they don't operate in a vacuum. They're part of the society surrounding them. They tend to reflect that society. And so one of the things that everyone who's ever done any study, research, and education understands is that in very affluent communities, the schools tend to get high test scores and high achievement and lots of kids going on to elite colleges and very high graduation rate, et cetera, because it's an affluent community. The parents have a college education. The homes have lots of books in them. And they have lots of advantages, which they're able to surround the children with. Not all the children will end up being high achievers, but on the whole, the achievement is very high. What we've seen in the past 40 years or so is the out-migration of affluent people from the cities. And the affluent people who return to the cities or who stay in the cities tend not to be those with families. And so the cities have a very dense concentration all across this country of people, Black and Hispanic in particular, who are poor, who are jobless, in some cases homeless, but who have greater needs than those in the suburbs. So the biggest problem in the cities is the economic situation of the families in the city. And if the families in the cities were as affluent as those in the suburbs, there would not be any difference in achievement.
Won't there always be people who are less affluent And if so, won't urban school districts always have to educate that population? So isn't the key to figure out how?
Well, of course, they're always, as I think the New Testament says, the poor will always be with us, and it's important to have good schools. But what we have today that's different is an expectation created by No Child Left Behind and by a lot of spokesmen who should know better, who say that 100% of children will be proficient. Well, in American education, in the history of our country, we have never had 100% proficiency, not even in the affluent suburbs. So, of course, the schools have to do the best they can, and they have to specifically address the needs of the children before them and not punish teachers if they don't get 100% proficiency. And to punish schools for not meeting a utopian expectation is to simply engage in a process of demolishing public education and turning the kids over to the private sector.
What should standards be, or what should school districts aim for?
School districts should aim to meet the needs of the children wherever they are. Some of the children will have severe learning disabilities. Some of them will be years and years behind because they just arrived from another country and they don't speak English. Some of the kids will enter school eager to learn and ready to learn. I mean, there are just a wide variety of conditions that children bring with them, and good educators understand that they have to meet the kids where they are and try to bring them up as far and as fast as they can.
So what does society do then, or what does a broader community do with students who eventually finish school and are at a low educational level?
There's no easy answers. I think that society just has to do the best it can in terms of providing a good education for every child in every neighborhood. I think we should, to the extent we can, we should strengthen our neighborhood schools so that children are not bussed all over. But I think that what we need in our society is what we once said, which is a commitment to provide a good school in every neighborhood for every child.
If people, especially taxpayers, want proof that their tax money is doing this job, then how does a public school system prove that it is doing its best job with every kid?
How does it prove it? I think it proves it, first of all, by being able to run facilities that are attractive enough so that everybody feels they want to be there. That they're hiring well-qualified teachers, that the graduation rate is such that when kids leave the schools, they're prepared either for the workplace or for college. What we have in many cities today is graduation rates that are phony because they're being used to say, look what a great graduation rate we have, but then the kids enter the community college and it turns out they can neither read nor do mathematics. They've been passed along in some of our leading cities simply to get the graduation rate up.
The situation then, if more kids are going to achieve at a higher level, is for what, a community to address other issues?
Well, I think that there has to be a community-wide approach in which we understand that children have health needs. Children have to have, in effect, what's called wraparound services, that if kids come to school and they don't speak English, they need help learning English. If they come to school and they haven't been fed or they're homeless, and they're many thousands of children in our society come from families that are homeless, and the children themselves are homeless. We have so many social issues in this society. It's totally unlike what it was 50 years ago, and it serves no purpose to beat up on the public schools, beat up on the public school teachers, and say they're the cause of the problems. No, they're not the cause of the problems. We have enormous economic dislocation caused by globalization, by the exit of jobs for the parents of these children who used to work in factories. But the factory jobs have now gone to China or to Latin America or to somewhere else. And we're facing a level of income inequality that's different from the past. And children are part of that web of connections.
You said earlier that districts reflect society. Knowing what you do about the school district of Milwaukee and Choice and Charter, what would you think about Milwaukee? How would you characterize Milwaukee from what you know just about its education problems?
Well, I'd say that Milwaukee has been used as a laboratory by a lot of particularly conservative foundations that want to demonstrate the success of choice, and particularly of vouchers, to show up the government and show that the government can't do as good a job as the private sector. But now, after 20 years of choice experimentation in Milwaukee, it's perfectly obvious that there was no improvement in the public schools because of the competition, and the competitive institutions aren't doing any better than the public schools. So the way I would characterize Milwaukee is that it has demonstrated the failure of the choice strategy and that an entire generation, if not two generations, of children in Milwaukee have been failed by the experiments that have been done on the children in these schools. I think that Milwaukee has been a petri dish for people who wanted to experiment on children, And they've done their experiments, and their experiments have not succeeded. They don't improve schools. They make business people feel better, but they don't improve schools. They don't make schools better for kids.
Has any district done a pretty good job that maybe other urban school districts should pay close attention to?
Well, I'd say that right now, if you just judge by what the national scores show, and that's the federal test that's given with no states attached to it, the national tests say that the two best districts in the country are Austin, Texas, and Charlotte, North Carolina. They have not put their money on choice strategies. They have really tried to build strong public school systems, and it's worked. It's been successful for them. Now, what I would urge for people in Milwaukee to do is to strengthen the public schools, to pay attention to class size, that it should be reasonable, and also not to bash the teachers. This is, unfortunately, the Obama race to the top has unleashed this national epidemic of saying teachers are to blame if kids aren't learning. Well, you know, there are a lot of other factors that go into why kids are not learning. Of course, schools play a part, but I think the lesson that Milwaukee has taught the nation is that choice doesn't work, and unfortunately, that is where the race to the top is pushing the rest of the nation to go, to follow in Milwaukee's footsteps and to have even more charters, more choices, and more wasted time, and more wasted money, and more wasted lives.
Diane Ravitch is a historian of education at New York University. Her new book is called The Death and Life of the Great American School System, How Testing and Choice Are Undermining Education. She spoke with WUWM's Marge Pitroff. In just a moment, a researcher studying the long-term effects of the Milwaukee School Choice Program says the evidence of success or failure is more nuanced than Ravitch would lead you to believe. That's coming up next. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.